with a look at your news, sports, and weather. You can get news anytime on our website, butlerradio.com, and on our Alexa devices as well.
WISR now presents It's Your Turn with Dave Malarkey. Dave is off today, so we have a special guest host. It's Your Turn is Butler County's only live call-in talk show. You can join in the conversation by calling 724-283-2525. And now, let's join It's Your Turn and today's special guest host.
And good afternoon. Tracy Morgan in with you for Dave Malarkey for It's Your Turn. We've been in touch with Dave, and basically this is what's happening thus far. He had vacation to begin all of this, and then he fell ill. So he's going through a brief illness, just recovering. So when he feels better, he's going to be back in this particular chair. So while he is recovering, we are just going to continue the program, and I'm going to be with you, of what I understand, the rest of the week. But I think Tyler is also going to pop in and out of here as well. So we're going to take the show and bring you what we can. We have a great show today. To outline our show, we're going to be talking about the effort that's in, I say, the area, primarily Shakor area, and the fight against addiction. So we're going to be talking about what's going on there with a lot of different businesses and pastors and community members, and we're going to do that first. And then at 1 o'clock today, I'm going to be joined by the Phipps Conservatory, and we're going to be talking about their building. I don't know if you've gone down there lately. It's been 5 years since they built, can I say, the building behind the building? So if you go in those main entrance doors, you go through, you see all the great things, then you go on the opposite side of that building, there's a huge, if you can say, building that's green. And we're going to talk about the greenest building in the world, not the color green. We're talking about the environment and being economically or environmentally savvy with that particular building. So we're going to talk about the five-year anniversary of that building. That's at 1 o'clock. And then at 1:30, I'm going to bring my boss in. I love it when I get to bring my boss in and say, sit down for a little bit. But we're going to be talking about the things that we are doing as radio stations. And I say stations because, of course, we have a group of radio stations with us. So we are going to be very active in this new year. And excuse me, since we're starting in January, let's talk about that. So that's the outline of the show that we have for you today. But before we do begin into our first topic, let me first take a moment and talk about our friends at St. Vincent de Paul, because as you know, every day is a sale at St. Vincent de Paul. The thrift store is what I'm talking about at the Greater Butler Mart. The hours, if you're thinking about going, 9 a.m. to 7 p.m. So mark that down, put it in your phone. And when I say that there's a sale every day, let me just go quickly through this list, because Monday, Senior Day, Tuesday, Kids Day, Wednesday, Ladies Day, Thursday's Upscale Day, Friday, Men's Day, Saturday, the sale tag of the week. So you're getting a percentage off almost every single one of those days, most of those days 50% off. So it's a very nice deal for you. They're already at great reasonable prices. Saturday, that sale tag of the week, the item on the sale tag rack, 99 cents. Love it. Buy one, get the second one for 49 cents. So very, very good prices at St. Vincent de Paul at the thrift store. Again, at the Greater Butler Mart, hours 9 a.m. to 7 p.m. All right, let's get into this with Doctor. I'm changing your profession. You know what, Pastor Pastorius? I've given people promotions on this show. I've changed their careers, you know, at the blink of an eye. Pastor Pastorius is with us from St. John's Reformed Church in Shakora.
Correct.
Welcome. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well, and I'm grateful to be here. Thank you.
I am glad that you're here as well. And it was last minute that I called you, so there are a lot of other people in this effort. So I'm glad you're here to represent the group, if you will.
Yes.
But tell us about the effort, the group that is in the Shakora area, or at least focusing on Shakora, that is trying to fight addiction.
Well, we have a ministerium in the Petroleum Valley, which comprises a number of different communities in that area, in the northeastern part of Butler County, not quite as far as Parker. But we got together at one of our ministerium meetings, and we started to talk about this issue of opioid addiction and the overdose death rate climbing, and we wanted to do something to address it. And so we kind of did some brainstorming and came up with this idea of having a community family fun day to promote prevention, first of all, and then also to educate families on the signs of addiction, the early signs of addiction. And then on top of that, we wanted to share information about the treatment resources that are available in and around our area so that those people that find that they're in addiction and they want to get out can find the resources to get out. We want to stop people from getting into addiction first. But once that has not taken place, so they have become addicted, we want to help them to get out. And who better than the church to address this issue? Because it is a spiritual, at its core, it's a spiritual issue.
Tell me who is a part of this. And I know you said churches. I know there are businesses involved in this. And I don't want to leave anyone out. So it's not like we have, I don't have a list in front of me. So we apologize if we leave anyone out. But I want you to be able to name them just because I think it's a great effort to see people coming together. And not only people, but churches alone. I mean, it felt like when I grew up, it was a matter of, okay, we're Lutherans, you're Presbyterians, you're Catholics, you know, you're in your own little circle. And it seems like as time has progressed, that seems to just be coming together a little bit, not in one denomination.
Right.
It's just that we're coming together as a body of Christ.
There is more unity in some places. We would like to see that continue. In our area, we have probably 15 churches that are either closely or somewhat associated with the ministerium. We have 10 that are pretty solid as far as their involvement. And those church leaders, the teams of people that are within those churches, agree that working together is better than working individually, especially on big issues. We have a food cupboard that we maintain. We have a youth center out there that is has its own board, has its own organization, but all the churches support it. We have a number of different things that we've done, walks of hope, where we've gotten people together to walk to bring awareness to this problem of opioid addiction and the overdose death rate climbing. And that sparked out of a walk of hope here, and all of that began from an initiative that took place in, I believe it was Kentucky, where there were churches that got together and said, the deaths are happening too frequently. We need to do something. The body of Christ came together, and there was a walk. And at first, it looked like there weren't going to be very many people, but then it turned out there were many people that came out for that walk. That sparked a number of walks here in the Butler County area. And when we're doing those walks, I've been asked to participate each year because I'm not afraid to stand up and say, this is a problem and the body of Christ needs to help to address it. And so I'm called upon very frequently now to do things that are related to the opioid epidemic. I do that because I know that it needs to be addressed. It's critical. In our area, in the Shakora area, we decided to use the Shakora Park, which is a little park relative to some of the parks in Butler and around Butler and even out our way. But we thought it would start out small, try to get some people in there and address this issue. We had probably 14 or 15 churches from our area that were contributors in one way or another. They participated by setting up a table or a booth. They gave gifts for our the basket drawing.
The basket raffles, yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. We also had Mount Chestnut Presbyterian Church down here in Mount Chestnut that made a contribution. We had various businesses, of course, including the Women of the World, Lodge 8, and KMDS Enterprises, George's Coin Op East Brady, the Freedman's Fresh Markets, and New York Life, and State Farm Insurance, and Fryder's Construction, K-Berry Incorporated from Saxonburg. I mean, we're in Shakora, but we're associated with enough people. They said, this is a worthwhile effort. We're going to help make it happen. And then also the radio station and helping us to get the word out. You know, the Dave Malarkey had me on the show. The Ellen O'Brien Geyser Center assisted finances. Woodman Life brought a trailer out and gave away free food all day. And the one guy, he manned a what do you call it, the cotton candy machine.
Oh, yeah, love him.
Yeah, everybody did.
Love him, right?
He said he was picking cotton candy out of his hair for a week.
That's great.
He loved it, but he said, don't ask him to do it again.
Maybe a different snack for us next time.
Well, they gave away hot dogs and chips and...
Yeah. So it was a successful event.
Oh, absolutely. We had nearly 600 people register.
Yeah.
We had one little booth in the middle of the park for registration, and the people would get tickets that would then entitle them to win one of these baskets or bags or whatever. We were giving gift cards. I think we had more than 100 gifts that people gave. Various churches, various individuals, businesses. One of the businesses in town there in Shakora, the Shakora Sandwich Shop, they came down and they gave away free pizza and other items that they make, pie. And I mean, I asked them for a basket, and we had a long talk sitting down there. I had a piece of their pie. I said, this is really good pie. They make great pies, homemade pies.
Yeah.
And anyway, the guy sent his people down, and they were giving away free food alongside of the Woodman Life.
So let me ask you, because this sounds like a great event for awareness and education and acceptability, if you will, and the public is together, community is coming together. So my one question is, what's going to happen in the future? Do you have any plans in place for what's next? And
yes.
Then two, my follow-up is there any assistance, help for people who are addicted? There's the education part, but there's also the help that's needed.
Right. Well, as far as the event, yes, it was such a success. We have people that estimate we had more than 1,000 people come through during the day. That was just unbelievable to everybody.
Was there a traffic jam in Shakora?
if you can believe that. Out in the little hamlet of Shakora, we had a traffic jam. We had cars parked everywhere out there. And the Shakora Alliance Church, Pastor Mark Wallace and I from St. John's, the people of our churches have gathered together, although I don't have as many people as Mark does in his congregation. But we bring people together. And we're working from different ends of the spectrum as far as the town is concerned. Mm-hmm. We also had Pastor Jim Lewis from the Methodist churches, Pastor Floyd Barnhart. We had Pastor Joe Akowski, who were hands-on. The Zion Church out there, Zion Baptist Church, I guess it is, the Zion of Petroleum Valley, they brought a bounce house and set it up and manned it all day. So what we're planning now is August 19th of 2018, we're going to have another event like this one that we had last August in the Shakora Park, and we're going to have similar things. We're still in the planning phases, but we have more time this time.
Sure, yeah.
We only had about 6 months last time to put it all together and make it happen, and we were pleased to see even our county commissioners came out and said a few words. County Commissioner Leslie Oshie and Kevin Boozle both took the podium. We said, if you'd like to, we would like to hear from you. And we just fit them in. They weren't on the schedule, but we fit them in.
Absolutely,
and they were pleased to say some words to address the people, to let them know that they care. There are people that are behind the scenes that nobody will ever know that are really pulling for those people that are in addiction. They want to see healing happen. And I know Linda Franuski, forgive me, Linda, if I said your name wrong. Linda at the Geyser Center, she and I have a common bond, and we learned last August that we come from the same area in Pittsburgh. And our paths probably crossed somewhere along the line in our youth. We've known a lot of people personally who became addicted and did not survive. And one young man, Patrick, I loved that little guy. He was a friend of my son and unfortunately became addicted and succumbed to that addiction and died. And it just breaks my heart when I think of the number of people that lose their lives. And every year we're seeing the number go up right now, and that just appalls me. Not just as a minister, although as a minister, I'm concerned for the souls that are being lost and the life that's being wasted. But I'm concerned because in the 25th chapter of Matthew's gospel record, we hear Jesus talking about if you fed him, if you clothed him, and he's talking about this in a parabolical or a parabolical way. He's saying if you when he returns, he says that the king is going to say to the people, if you fed me, if you clothed me, if you took care of me, then come on in. In other words, you're going to welcome him into the kingdom. But if you didn't, then you won't be welcomed in. And then, of course, the people question and say, well, when did we see you hungry? When did we see you thirsty? When did we see you naked or sick or in prison? And when did this happen? And he says, when you did it to the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. And so there is a call for the church to assist anybody that's in need. Now, we do well in feeding people. We have a food cupboard out there, the Petroleum Valley Food Cupboard. We do really well in feeding people. In fact, this Friday, 2 days from now, we'll be having a distribution. We're supposed to be getting a truck today, and there's people that are there right now waiting for that truck.
There you go. Good. Yeah. Be patient. It'll come.
And then, we make sure if people need clothes, we make sure they have clothes. If they need help with their heating bills or their electric bills, mm-hmm. we have ways of helping them, the various churches.
But are we, I say, as a community, good at doing that? Churches good at doing that because we know how to do that?
I think so.
And with addiction, we don't know what to do.
I think that may very well be where part of our problem is in dealing with addiction. And there's a stigma. There's a strong stigma because many people who become addicted become so desperately in need of that substance, and it becomes to where their life is changed, and then the people around them get hurt, and that adds to the stigma because there's so much activity that happens that hurts other people. When we look at that, it's okay, we don't want anybody to get hurt, not the individual that's addicted, nor their family members or friends or neighbors or whomever, the community at large. And there is a time when somebody has to be incarcerated. We want that to happen when it's necessary because some people just have those desires to hurt other people. But there are many people who become addicted because they have been prescribed something, and then once the prescription is over, they take to the streets and they start buying that prescription on the streets, and then suddenly somebody who has the prescription says, hey, I've got this and it's cheaper, and this happens to be heroin. And in this community, there are many people, and I've heard the stories myself, that become addicted to pain medication because of an accident or some sort of an illness. Something happens. They are prescribed a substance, and then they become addicted to that substance, and then they find that they keep needing it, and they can't get away from that desire to have it.
And that's a big story. That's a different story than what a lot of people perceive,
right?
When they don't have the details, they don't have the information.
Exactly. And so then the stigma stops many people from wanting to be involved in helping mm-hmm. to address this issue. And I'm not saying we had a memorial on Main Street. I just helped with the planning. I didn't do much of anything except I said, yes, okay, well, I'll do whatever I can to help. But there are people that criticize this memorial because here we are, we have crosses and wreaths, and we're saying, 88 people at that time, I don't know what the number is now confirmed by the end of 2017, but nearly 90 people had lost their lives to opioid addiction, and we're saying, let's not turn a blind eye to this. If that many people died from some other cause, would we just ignore it? Would we just turn our back as a church? Would the body of Christ say, they did it to themselves? If we saw that many people dying from, say, bicycle accidents, and we say, well, they got on the bike. Yeah, they did, but maybe we can help them make bicycles safer, or maybe we can help them to get off the bike. And a lot of the resources that are available are, at this point, I think they're still in flux.
A lot of people, I'm going to go back to the statement that you made, Pastor, that people want to see healing through a church.
Right.
So I'm not going to take the perspective at this point from the addict's viewpoint, but from those who say, yeah, the church should help. They should help. I'm a Christian, but yeah, somebody else will take care of it. Should it be the church's role, or can it be the church's role to educate the rest of the parishioners on how to do this, on what to say, what not to say, where to guide people, and be able to be in the process?
I think that is part of the church's role, is to educate the people that, and for lack of a better word, are ignorant of what this really is. This is a social problem that is tearing apart the fabric of our society. And the church can educate on prevention. How do we keep, let's say, young people, how do we keep them from becoming addicted to substances that can ruin their lives and the lives of the people around them? How can we stop them from getting addicted to something that could potentially kill them, and in many cases does? How do we teach them that? Well, we have things like the Butler County Against Heroin. We have the Stand Tall program. Excellent ways that people can actually get the help that they need to stop this idea of it's okay to use drugs, to prevent the use. And so the churches can participate. They can help those organizations. Stand Tall organization has people in the high schools that are helping students to say, I'm not going to be using drugs. We're going to prevent addiction in this way. The churches can also help in teaching people the signs of addiction. Very often, parents and grandparents may not know that a loved one is in addiction because they don't recognize the signs. So the churches can easily disseminate that information. It's not difficult. Collect the information and share it. And that's another way that the church could be involved in helping, because there are people that they're afraid to even talk about it. Well, my nephew, my cousin, my aunt, my uncle, my mother, my dad, whomever, my son, my daughter are addicted. What do I do? I can't go to the church. That's a shame. You know, we don't want to bring shame on our family. And there's this secretness that helps to continue. And so the church can help to open up and say, you know what? This affects everybody. It's not just an isolated man, woman, child. It is everybody's issue. And we all need to do something about it.
From the addict's perspective, how can they go to their pastor or priest if they're Catholic and be able to start to get help? And I ask that because I've been in circles where there are folks that are going through recovery. Maybe some addicts, maybe through other issues. And a lot of people say, well, I just want to be heard. But I'm not sure if that's the same challenge that folks that are addicted have, because there's that chemical need to put something else in their body.
Right.
So what would you, if you're sitting here and an addict was sitting here, what would you tell them in the way of approaching your pastor or church to get help?
Well, anybody that knows me knows they can just come right to me and talk to me. And hopefully most of the people that are in churches would know that they can go to their pastor or their priest and they can talk to them and say, I'm having an issue, or my son or my daughter or whomever is having an issue. What can we do about this? How can we intervene? How can we address this problem? And seeking the resources is sometimes difficult for people because they don't know where to look. They don't know what to ask. They don't even know the questions because they don't know what the problem is. So there has to be some addressing of that problem by the clergy. Just go to them. Talk to them. Tell them, this is a problem. There's a problem here. What do we do about it? And challenge them to get involved. Challenge other people in the churches to get involved. It's a community problem. And since it's a community problem, it should be addressed by the community.
I want to ask, do you have success stories? But when I say that, often people will think, oh, they made it to a finish line and everything is wonderful and they're singing Sound of Music songs. And that's not what I'm asking. But have you seen successful stories in the way of progression for people to get to another point in their lives away from addiction?
Absolutely. We have a young couple in our church that were both addicted to heroin, and they have become clean, and now they are experiencing more than 2 years, 3 years. I think one's two, the other one's three, at total abstinence. And they are functioning. You would not know that they were once addicted to heroin. It is possible. It is possible to come out, and it is possible to get that taken care of and then to maintain that freedom from addiction. The one used the program, let's see, what's it called? Oh, I'm just going to skip.
Just went right out of your head. That's all right. There's all right. I know there's so many programs out there,
right,
and they're really good. Some are faith-based.
Right, and this
and
one
some
was.
Are,
this
okay.
They used.
Was it Celebrate Recovery?
No, but there is a Celebrate Recovery.
An RU? Is it RU or RA? Recovery? There's an R. I think it's
right.
RU.
It might be RU.
Yeah. I can't remember what the U stands for, but
a lot of times people need to talk.
Mm-hmm.
And the Hope for Broken Hearts group, for example, they provide a venue for parents to be able to sit down and talk about the problems, because they love their son, they love their daughter, and this is not the daughter or son that they raised, because this addiction has taken over that life, and so they're seeing things happening that would not normally happen with those children.
Yeah.
More churches could have Hope for Broken Hearts groups, whatever they want to call it. It doesn't have to be Hope for Broken Hearts.
Yeah.
But why reinvent the wheel? If you talk to Charlene Eckert with the Hope for Broken Hearts group out there at Mount Chestnut Presbyterian Church, she can give information to help people to maybe start their own group.
So is it a good idea if somebody's listening today, whether they're a part of a church, a business, individual, they want to kind of join this effort? I know you're focused in Shakora.
Right now.
But you are also looking at, well, like you said, right now, Western Pennsylvania, Butler County.
Right.
I don't know where this is going to go.
Well, I've talked with some people from Butler last year at the event in Shakora, And they asked me how we can make it happen here in Butler. And I said, you know, I think a good place to do this would be down at the ball stadium. It's a perfect venue for something like this, where we could bring a lot of people together. We could bring vendors from wherever the reach is from this region, and we could have them share the information about whatever it is that they offer as far as recovery options, prevention, the people who are working toward prevention. We can get them to set up and share information. Those that are able to show people the signs of addiction, that's a tough one. You know, we had a brief 1.5 or 2 minute video, maybe 3 minute video that shows some things. And I was surprised. I didn't know all of those things. And I thought, if I didn't know and I'm on the front line with this, mm-hmm. I know the parents, they're lacking the information that they need to address it.
And the support. I think the support out there with the stigma and where that needs to go. Pastor Pastorius, St. John's Reformed Church in Shakora. I'm looking forward to hearing more about the second annual event, right? So we can put a number 2 in front of that whenever it comes up later in the year. But thank you very much for coming by. Any final thoughts? I'm going to tell you as a pastor, I get this all the time as a broadcaster. You have a minute. Go. Any final thoughts just on this, the importance of getting this education out?
Yes. I would say that everybody in any church could join together. Of course, this particular event that we have can always use support and helpers. If you're listening from our area and you want to get involved, our next meeting is going to be held at the community, the Shakora Alliance Church, and that's going to be next Thursday, the 25th at 7 p.m., and we welcome anybody who would like to help organize the event and make it happen. And anybody who wants to contribute can send contributions in the name of the Community Family Fund Day and send it care of the Shakora Alliance Church. I don't have their address, but I'm sure it can be found easily.
Or ask Alexa. I'm sure we could just ask her and she'll give it to us. Pastor, thank you so much for coming in.
Certainly.
Folks, we're going to be back in just a couple of minutes. We'll talk to the Phipps Conservatory. We'll be back with It's Your Turn. I'm Tracy Morgan in for Dave Malarkey.
Shipping things yourself can be extremely complex. You buy the box, you make sure it's secure, and then you got to tape it, then lug it into the car, to the post office. Ugh. Make life easier. Take it to Goin Postal. In between Villa Grande and Kings on Newcastle Road, Goin Postal takes care of all of that for you. And hey, they've got Valentine's Day cards as well, local honey, and lottery tickets. It's just a downright good place to go. Goin Postal, 140 Shockey Lane in Butler. If you got to plug it into the GPS, your friendly neighborhood shipping store.
It's that time of the year. Sniffles, coughing, chills, everything else that comes with cold and flu season. At Institute Hill Pharmacy, they want to get you feeling better as soon as possible. You'll have your prescription filled in minutes and be on your way to feeling better. Because who wants to be sick around the holidays? Stop by Institute Hill Pharmacy at 937 East Jefferson Street. Call 285-3693 or find them on Facebook. And don't forget, they have great 99-cent greeting cards, retailer gift cards, and seasonal gifts for the holidays. Institute Hill Pharmacy, and old-fashioned pharmacy just the way you remember.
Music is a bridge between the material and the spiritual. My name is Harvey Lauer, and I'm 82. As a blind person, you have to be aware that nobody can tell you what you can or can't do. You really have to try things. My folks got me a little radio in 1940, and that was the best Christmas present I ever got. When I was 11 years old is when I started to play music, play the piano, and then the accordion, and then the cello. My wife, who was also blind, was a good cook. When she died, that's when I started Meals on Wheels. America, let's do lunch.
One in six seniors faces the threat of hunger, and millions more live in isolation. Drop off a hot meal and say a quick hello. Volunteer for Meals on Wheels by donating your lunch break at americaletsdolunch.org. This message brought to you by Meals on Wheels America and the Ad Council.
It only takes a minute to find out if you may have prediabetes, and you can do it at doihaveprediabetes.org. But you're probably not going to. Nope. I'm sure you've got a perfectly good excuse. Kids, work. I get it. You're busy. So what better time than now? Let's begin. Raise one finger if you're a man. Ladies, none yet. Oh, count in your head if you're driving. Now, three more fingers for everyone over 60, two over 50, one over 40, one more if you're not physically active, another finger if anyone in your family has type 2 diabetes, another if you've got high blood pressure. If you're overweight, raise another finger, two if you're very overweight, and three if you're really overweight. You've just taken the world's first audio prediabetes test. And if you're holding up five or more fingers, visit doihaveprediabetes.org or talk to your doctor. There's no excuse, because prediabetes can be reversed.
Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
And welcome back to the program. I'm Tracy Morgan in for Dave Malarkey. And yes, we've been in touch with Dave, so he's just resting right now. He had vacation to begin everything, and then he started to feel ill, and so he's just recovering from some illness. So we told him, take your time, you know, just rest, relax, and get better. So he'll return with us shortly, but I will take the rest of his show for the rest of the week. So thank you very much for joining us, and I appreciate it. At 1:30 today, we are just going to be, I say, talking about us. I feel like I'm talking about us and bragging. It's for you, your benefit, the things that we are doing, though. We're very active, three stations with our group here in Butler, and so we want to make sure that we're out there in the community. But if you're busy like me, I forget as soon as I hear it. So we're going to remind you of some things that we're going to be doing, and we will do that with my boss, Vicki Hinderberger, at 1:30. So we will do that here in just a few minutes. Right now, I'm very excited to talk about this because I like to be environmentally friendly as much as I can. And this is now the fifth year for the Phipps Conservatory for their Center for Sustainability Landscapes. And with me is the Phipps Executive Director, Richard Piancini. And Richard, thank you very much for joining me this afternoon.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you for inviting me.
Now, first of all, Phipps is just a gorgeous place to visit, and it's open year-round. Since we're kind of in that winter mode still. Everybody should be at Phipps, right? That's where we could stay warm. But
tropical.
Right. So talk about the changes that go into what you do during the winter. You just came out of the Christmas season, and then what changes will be happening as we come and visit?
Well, right now we have our tropical bonsai and orchid show that just opened a week ago, and we'll have that through the end of February. And then we'll switch over to our spring flower show, which is always welcome in this climate. And we're also right now in the process of changing over our Tropical Forest Conservatory into a new exhibit, which is called the Tropical Forest of Cuba, and that opens in February. We're really excited about that. That's going to run for 3 years.
How do you decide what to change to? Is there a committee that picks from a few areas, or does traveling exhibits get in touch with you?
Most of the exhibits we do are done in-house. For our flower shows, we have a committee of staff from different departments that get together and talk about different themes. So, for example, this year is the 125th anniversary of Phipps Conservatory, which we're very excited about. And so for the fall show, we're actually going to do an exhibit that touches on some of the history of the exhibits in the conservatory. So we'll have some, recreate some scenes that people might have seen in the 1950s or 60s or 70s. So that's one way of doing an exhibit, planning for an exhibit. The other is the Tropical Forest Conservatory, which we change the theme of that every 3 years. And we originally planned it so that we could go around all around the world to different continents and pick different forests to talk about each time. So we started with Thailand, we followed it up with the Amazon, then we did India, right now we have the Congo, and this next year, for the next 3 years, it'll be Cuba. We haven't picked the one after that yet, but we'll probably go back over to Asia for that next exhibit.
Yeah. Let's talk about your Center for Sustainable Landscapes and the building that is considered one of the greenest buildings in the world. Why did this get developed in the first place 5 years ago?
Well, we had been doing some major renovations at the conservatory since we went private in 1993. And one of the things that we became very involved in very early on in the late 90s, early 2000s, was to make our buildings be as sustainable and as green as we possibly could. We We built the first LEED certified visitor center in a public garden, followed that with the first greenhouses ever to get LEED certified. Then we followed that with the most energy efficient tropical conservatory in the world. By then we found ourselves thinking in systems, which is how nature works, and we heard about the Living Building Challenge, which is the most rigorous green building standard in the world. It's based on systems thinking, and we said, you know, we should do that. It was pretty risky when we did that because when we decided to do that, nobody had ever built a building to meet the Living Building Challenge before. But we decided that we were going to go for it. We were really interested in building a building that was net zero energy and net zero water, free from toxic chemicals. And when we finished it in late 2012, it was the first and only building ever to get four of the highest certifications in the world. And to this day, this is 5 years later, we're still the only building that's even attempted to get those four certifications in one building. So we're pretty proud of it.
So what is, when you talk about the LEED certification and the other certifications that you have, what does that mean to you? Because I'm not sure that we quite understand them, not being in the same industry.
Well, I think what's really interesting about these certifications is they focus on different areas. So, for example, a LEED is probably the most common green building standard in the United States, and that really looks at how do you make your buildings be more efficient. Primarily, they're concerned with energy efficiency and a number of other things as well. I don't want to simplify too much, but the Living Building Challenge is the most rigorous green building standard. It's a much broader system where you're looking to be net zero energy, net zero water, free from toxic chemicals. The next certification we did was called Sustainable Sites, and that's looking at the landscape and how do you make your landscape be as environmentally friendly as possible. And we got the highest level of certification in that. And then the last one was called Well Building Certification, which is focused on how do buildings affect human health. When you think about the fact that we spend 90% of our lives in buildings, it's really important to wonder or to think about how do those buildings either contribute or detract from your health. And it's amazing. That's probably one of the most eye-opening things that we did was really get involved and really trying to understand how buildings affect human health. And so we have that as well. So our building then looks at how good is the building, how does it relate to the landscape, and how does it relate to people's health.
Will you be applying anything that you have done to this particular building, your Center for Sustainable Landscapes, into the existing Phipps Conservatory?
Absolutely. We learned a lot in going through these certifications, and we're actually implementing a lot of the things that we've learned all throughout the conservatory and all throughout our operations. You know, a really good example is something called the Red List, which is part of the Living Building Challenge. They came up with a list of 21 different classes of chemicals that are considered very toxic, but they happen to be very prevalent in a lot of building products, things like formaldehyde, flame retardants, things like that. We make sure whenever we do any kind of renovation or anything anywhere in the conservatory that we do not allow any of those toxic Red List chemicals to be in any of the products that we use. So I think that's a good example.
With me right now is Phipps Executive Director Richard Pianchetti, and we're talking about one of the greenest buildings in the world right here in the area, and that being at Phipps Conservatory, marking its five-year anniversary. And if you haven't been there, and I've been there, Richard, but I also have a picture in front of me. But once, folks, you go through the entire building, you can exit out the back, if you will, if that's the best way to describe it. And that's when you go into the next building. You can either exit or go through another door. Is that right, if I remember that correctly?
Right.
And so when you go out the exterior door into this beautiful area, you mentioned landscaping. Can you explain what this area is? It almost looks a little swampy, but it looks just environmentally friendly, and it's just an interesting place that you can walk through.
Well, you know, that site was originally a public works yard, and it was one big, giant asphalt parking lot with a maintenance building on it. And when we, you know, took over the conservatory from the city, that was part of the lease. And it was a brownfield site. It had some contamination from some leaking fuel tanks on it that were cleaned up. And we've completely renovated that site and returned over 200 native species of plants to the site. And it's amazing right now. It's we've had all these different native species, birds, insects, animals, come back to live there, and it's really great to see how this really decimated landscape could be restored to look so natural again. So that's pretty exciting, I think.
Do you have to do anything special in the winter to keep that area surviving?
No, because these are all native plants, so they're all used to the conditions we have here in Pittsburgh, and they're just flourishing.
So tell us what we can see inside the building. Maybe we haven't visited Phipps in a while, and we're not sure what this building looks like or what's inside. When we go into this Center for Sustainable Landscape, what do we find?
Well, first of all, it's primarily an office building. It's our administration, education, and research building. So we do have offices in there, but the whole atrium of the building is open to the public, and there's some exhibits in there that people can look at and learn more about the conservatory. There's always an art exhibit on the first floor as well. So visitors are welcome to come out onto the roof of the building. It's a green roof. It's a garden on top of the roof with beautiful views of downtown and Oakland. From the roof, they can go in down into the atrium, go down to the second and first floor. And again, on the first floor, we also have a classroom for our children. We do most of our children's education programs in this building. And then on each of the three levels, there are actually exits out into the garden that people can go out, and we have some of the features that actually help us with our program. For example, we have this large lagoon, stormwater capture lagoon, which is a wonderful place surrounded by a boardwalk that has, fish and turtles and frogs in it. It's really important helping us manage stormwater on site, but it's also a very important visitor amenity. And there's lots of flowers and native vegetation all around that people can walk through the gardens.
Phipps,
it's really a great place to visit.
The whole location is a great place to visit, and I love to go to Phipps, and it's relaxing, and you're able to stroll at your own pace. And I remember taking my kids at one point, and I'm not exactly sure you would probably know where to pinpoint this, but there's one section that the kids can go shopping and have their little shopping cart and pretend like they're picking, what you would have.
Farmer's market.
Yes, the little farmer's market, and they pick their fruits and vegetables, and they check out and things. It's just a fabulous location, not only for adults, but for families in general. And what is the feedback that you've gotten from people as they come through Phipps? I know there's your main section, and then, of course, this newer building, even though it's 5 years old.
Well, we keep getting great reviews from people about the exhibits and the flower shows. I think we're the number two highest-ranked place by TripAdvisor in the whole Pittsburgh region, which we're pretty excited about. Also, when people come into into the Center for Sustainable Landscapes, there's a guest book there. People can write their comments down, and it's really wonderful to go through and read what some of the people have commented on. And actually, it's also interesting to look at where they're from. We've had people from all over this country and all over the world come to visit the Center for Sustainable Landscapes, because it is really an incredible building. You know, something that I didn't mention, I should have mentioned, Tracy, which also I think is really exciting about this building, is when we first started to think about doing this design for this building back in 2007, and we started to put a request out for proposals to find a design team. We said, a lot of times people, when they're going to design a really super building, they think they have to go to New York or San Francisco to hire, talent to build the building. And we said, wouldn't it be great if we could build the greenest building in the world and be able to say that it was designed and built by people in Pittsburgh and Pennsylvania? So when we put out our request for proposals, we limited the design team. We said the primary architect and primary engineer have to come from Pittsburgh, and the rest of the team has to come from Pennsylvania, or in Pittsburgh and Pennsylvania, and we did it. We had a fabulous team led by the Design Alliance, which are downtown in Pittsburgh, and they built what many people consider to be the greenest building in the world. So it just goes to show that we have, we live in a fantastic area, and we have great talent in this region. And it's really exciting to be able to celebrate that talent.
Richard, I have to say, I grew up here in Butler. I've traveled around the country and lived other places as well before coming back home. And it's interesting where Pittsburgh still seems to get that same kind of stigma, if you will, of being a coal town and dirty. And yet, I find it interesting on how technologically savvy Pittsburgh has become, you know, with and then of course the environmental side, and with this building being one of the greenest buildings in the world. Do you find that the perception out there with the folks that you deal with across the nation still find Pittsburgh to have a different image than what we actually do now, or do you find that they're surprised to see how clean we are and how environmentally savvy we are?
Well, I think a couple of years ago I would have said yes. But right now I know when I talk to my colleagues in the botanical garden world or in the museum world, I mean, you know, Phipps is known nationally and internationally for all the sustainability initiatives that we have, and I think people really equate that with Pittsburgh as well.
Now, when you said that you saw the challenge, the living building challenge, and that's what the group there at Phipps wanted to go after and try to build this, you have now 5 years under your belt for the Center for Sustainable Landscapes. Have you then become an example to other companies, other businesses that want to do the same, or have you just melted in with this great challenge?
No, I would say every week we have people from around the country and around the world coming here to look at what we did and to really try to see if this is something that they can do themselves. We actually started our own Studio Phipps Design Consulting Group to help people because we had so many people requesting help about how can we do this. We also launched a workshop. We've been doing workshops for some of the associations. We're doing one here in February at Phipps on getting the green building you want. How do you figure out, how do you align a building with your values? We're really going to try and help people walk through the process of trying to figure out how can they get a green building and really get something that makes sense for who they are and what they believe in. So I think people are becoming more and more interested in this, and I think a lot of them are looking at Phipps for guidance and help.
Folks, if you're just joining us, the Phipps Executive Director is with us, Richard Piancini. And Richard, if you don't mind, I just want to take a couple of minutes. I know we've focused on the Center for Sustainable Landscapes, but I just wanted to ask you about your programs that are coming up for Phipps Conservatory and Botanical Gardens. I know you have a 5-point sustainable plan. We're not going to be able to go through all of that, but in that are your programs and events. And I understand in March there's going to be a symposium. It's called One Health, One Planet. What is that? Can you tell us about that?
Well, the whole One Health, One Planet movement started many years ago. It originally started to get veterinarians and medical profession doctors to start talking to each other about different issues because there was a realization that, you know, we have to stop working in silos. We have to start looking at cross species and, you know, things like Ebola and AIDS and a number of other, you know, diseases people saw that affect both people and animals. So we really need to start thinking about a more global approach to really trying to understand how different things affect human and animal health. We also like to bring in the environmental point to the discussion that, you know, what we do in the environment affects not only people but affects animals as well. So this conference will be focused on, this particular one will be about chemicals of concern in the environment and how chemicals can affect people and how they can affect animals. So that'll be coming up in March, and we have a really fabulous slate of national speakers coming in from across the country to really participate in this.
And since we're right almost on top of February, you have some training workshops that folks can find out about, the green buildings and sustainable land care. But what I did want to touch on before we let you go today is the cooking classes in New
Right.
Teaching Kitchen. What does that mean?
Well, we have a botany hall, which was built in 1901. And the lower level is a classroom, and we're converting that classroom into a state-of-the-art teaching kitchen because a lot of the programs we're running right now are really focused on health and healthy eating and vegetable gardening and growing your own organic vegetables and teaching people how to prepare them, healthy meals. So we wanted to have a kitchen here that we could use for doing classes, everything from children up to adults, bring in guest chefs, things like that. So we're really excited. It's going to probably open up in March, and it's going to be a really great place for us to really expand the types of programming we do for people.
So do you plan on having that for adults and kids, or will that primarily be for cooking classes for adults?
Both. Kids and adults. You know, you got to get kids started early.
Absolutely, right? Teach them well when they're young. So
right.
It looks like, and can you tell us about any other kids programs that you have? I know you have lots of programs and adults enjoy them, but I have two kids, so I'm always interested. What can I do with my kids? And taking them to FIPS is one of our favorite things.
Well, we have programs that go around the year. A lot of them are listed on our website, but we do a lot of kids camps in the summertime, which are very popular. And a lot of our camps are also related to science and helping kids learn and get an appreciation for science. So we have a pretty exciting roster of programs all throughout the year. All on our website, so
I encourage
your listeners to check that out.
Absolutely. Any plans of celebrating your Center for Sustainable Landscape since you've hit the fifth year?
Well, we're really going to focus in on right now. This is our 125th year for the conservatory. It opened in 1893, so later this year we're going to have a big, giant gala celebration, and we'll include the Center for Sustainable Landscapes in that as well.
Absolutely. FIPS Executive Director Richard Pinaccini, before I let you go, just your final thoughts on the importance of individuals being environmentally conscious and how that affects us.
Well, I think every one of us needs to do what we can, and in numbers we can make great impact. It's just amazing when people start to think about that. And I think we need to realize that we have to stop waiting for government to solve our problems, that we really need to focus on doing everything we can to be as green and sustainable as we can. And we see people coming here all the time to learn about things that they can do. And we're really excited about that. And we're really excited to try and help them as much as they can.
Richard, thank you so much for your time today. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. Great. Thank you. And you have a wonderful day. And hopefully we'll get down to FIPS soon. It is a great place to go whenever you're freezing cold. I will have to say that. Oh, you know what? I forgot to ask him. I think it was FIPS that had that stinky flower. Was it the corpse flower a couple years ago? I wanted to go see it and didn't get to go see it. I don't know if I'd really want to smell it, but it does smell like a corpse. I mean, that's what it's called. That's the whole point behind that corpse flower. But so FIPS Conservatory celebrating their the Center for Sustainable Landscapes, it's a building behind the building that you always see in pictures. So it's not the building that you see in pictures. It's right behind it. It is connected. So if you ever get down there, one of the greenest buildings in the world. I'm Tracy Morgan in for Dave Malarkey. We're going to take a short break for a couple of minutes, and we'll be back, and I'm going to talk about the weather. Kayla, our news director, had a very interesting story about hypothermia and body temperature and how it deals with wind. So we'll talk about that right after this. I'm Tracy Morgan in for Dave Malarkey with It's Your Turn.
Do you have missing teeth or wear dentures? You may have heard of or are considering dental implants. Hi, this is Dr. Bob Todd of Butler Smiles Dental Care. There are many options available with dental implants, and making the right choice can be confusing. I have been placing dental implants since 2004, both full-size traditional implants and small diameter or mini dental implants. There are indications for both, but more and more we are using mini dental implants in a variety of innovative ways. They are easier to place, causing less discomfort, are less costly, and can frequently be used immediately after placement, allowing you to get back to eating the foods you like or smiling again right away. Traditional implants typically have a 4-month healing time before they can be used. I invite you to call our office at 282-7774 to schedule a free consultation to see if mini dental implants are the right solution for your dental problems, or visit us on the web at butlersmiles.com.
Applewood Chiropractic Health and Fitness Center, Butler County's only individually owned executive-level fitness and chiropractic center. You'll enjoy the clean, private, unintimidating atmosphere and appreciate the support of full-time professional staff there to assist you with your workout routine on Applewood's safe and modern equipment. Why not improve your general well-being at Applewood, just 3 miles from Butler on Thornapple Drive? Call 724-283-0518 or visit applewoodchiro.com.
The Young Funeral Home of Butler invites you to stop by their Jefferson Street location downtown Butler. to talk about prearrangements. Not the easiest thing to do, but necessary. And the Young family will walk you through the process, making it very comfortable and really easy to take care of. You'll experience peace of mind knowing that your wishes and plans will be carried out to the last detail. Call the Young Funeral Home in Butler today to make an appointment with a member of the Young family. Generations of the Young family have been caring for generations of Butler families for well over 40 years. The Young Funeral Home, West Jefferson Street in Butler.
Hop the bus, leave the driving up to us. We're going your way, getting there starts here. Just hop the bus, easy and economical. Just hop the bus, no car, no problem. The bus will get you there, 'cause that's what we do. Hop the bus, leave the driving up to us. The bus, we're going your way.
Little ditty, I do. It's great. It's your turn. Usually, I know you hear Dave Malarkey. We've been in touch with Dave, and basically, he has had an illness. So we just said, you know what, take your time. Get well. So he is doing that. And so he will be back with us shortly, although we're going to let him rest this week, so I will take care of the show. I know Tyler's going to jump in on the show on occasion as well, so we'll take care of It's Your Turn for the rest of the week. But thank you for being here. Yes, it's cold. You don't need me to tell you that. But this is the time that it gets a little frustrating. At least I can say that for myself. Because, okay, so today is supposed to be 16 degrees. And a wind chill will be a factor today of negative 11. What's annoying, in my opinion, at this point, is it'll be 31, which is good. 22 for a low on Thursday. 39 on Friday, which is good. A low down to 29. And so it's not until Saturday that we have a high and a low that's above freezing. Because my driveway is one big hill. And so I found out yesterday, and I knew better. I know better not to stop halfway up my snow-covered hill. I know. But did I do it? Yeah. So I was looking at something almost halfway up, and I slowed down enough, and I could just feel the car just kind of starting to slide. And I went, oh, no. So then I tried it again, just gently pressing on the gas, and it would kind of slide. So I knew we had to get some salt and some sand, and we got the car up the hill, and we were used to having to do this. But my problem here is the weather in the next couple of days, I don't think is going to melt the snow all that much. Or the ice. Do you have ice? I'm looking at Pat. Pat has ice on his drive, too. Yeah. So the ice that's under the snow then refreezes by the time we get to the next day. So that's what we got for the next couple of days. So maybe no snow coming down from the sky, but still we have only 16 today, 12 tonight again, negative 11 with a wind chill, 31, 39. Now when we get to the weekend, maybe there's some hope, right? 46 for a high on Saturday and a low down to 36. So we'll be in that realm where things could possibly continue to melt overnight as well. Sunday, 50 for a high and 37 for a low. Maybe some rain showers on Sunday. Now, I thought it was very interesting of Kayla, our news director, to put together this particular story about hypothermia, just because I never really thought of this. And she talks about why it's so cold, so dangerous. And the information comes from the National Weather Service. And they say it all comes down to wind. So the average temperature of a human body, of course, is 98.6 degrees. We know that. And under calm wind conditions, the body, of course, radiates heat. What it does is it creates a layer of warmth between the skin and the cold. But when the wind comes in, it breaks all of that up and it moves the heat away from our body. So hypothermia begins when the body drops between 2 and 4 degrees. That's all it takes, 2 to 4 degrees. And then hypothermia can set in. So be careful. That's why we always tell you to bundle up. Keep all of the exposed skin, if you will, covered up, because it can get dangerous. And so negative 11, yeah, it's here for another day. But I don't see any snow. I don't see any sleet. I don't see any kind of precipitation until the end of the week. And that would come in the form of rain with a high of 50, so not too bad. All right, so that's the weather forecast. We still have another half hour. We're going to take one more short break, 30 seconds, a minute or so, and we're going to take a short break and allow some time for my boss to hop in here. And Vicki Hinderberger is going to join us, and I wanted to have her in because I have talked to her before about this, just about things that we are doing in the community so you know, so you can put it on your calendar. I know we still have Socks for Seniors that we're doing right now. We're gearing up for the Butler County Wine Festival, and that's a huge event on the 27th. We'll talk about that and a couple of other events. That'll be up until 2, and then we'll close down the show for the day. I'm Tracy Morgan in for Dave Malarkey with It's Your Turn. We'll be back right after this.
Finding qualified candidates to fill jobs is one of the toughest tasks employers face. What's the best way to find those candidates? How about radio? Radio reaches 93% of adults on a weekly basis. So your next qualified candidate is out there and probably listening to our station. Let the Butler Radio Network help craft a message that will bring skilled employees to your office. Put simply, the Butler Radio Network can help you find more qualified candidates. Call today at 724-283-1500 or visit butlerradio.com. And click on advertising.
I'm Tracy Morgan. Welcome back to the program. Tracy in for Dave Malarkey. Dave is out recovering from a brief illness, and he will join us shortly after he recovers. So not today. So we're going to take the rest of the show today up until 2 o'clock. I'm going to be bringing in our boss again. I just talked to her last week. We talked about the great things that our station is doing. And I know a lot of times life gets busy, and sometimes you forget what you wanted to do. You forgot to write it down. You forgot to put it in your phone. So we're going to review some of the things that our group of stations are doing, especially as we're getting into the new year. We have the Wine Festival coming up in just a couple of weeks. That's a huge event for us on the 27th. We'll talk about that and other things. But before we get to that, I just wanted to take a minute to talk about this particular story. We've had this in the news today. If you've heard the news, then fabulous, you've heard it. If not, let me remind you again. I just said life gets busy. Sometimes you hear it once and would like to be reminded. So this is about the Butler Area School District coming together, overcoming disability. The Butler Area School District Supervisor of Special Education, Aaron Royhab, he talked to our newsroom and he was talking to us about this, where Special Olympics approached the school district in Butler and several others around our area to start a unified sports bocce team this year. And the district says that the experience so far has been successful and they've been thrilled with it. Two teams of 8 disabled and non-disabled students, they practice twice a week. And I think, first of all, just to mention that, it's a fabulous thing to undergo. So hats off to the Butler Area School District for getting involved with this. Now, this is what I want to remind you of. This is Wednesday. So, a fundraiser for those teams is planned at the Texas Roadhouse. So, between 5 and 8 p.m. today, Wednesday, the restaurant, Texas Roadhouse, is going to donate 10% of each order placed by anyone who brings in a team flyer. You don't know where to get the flyer? Let me tell you. So you go on to the Butler Area School District website. If you don't have it, just Google it. It'll come up. And that flyer for the teams will be on the website. So all you have to do is download it, print it off. I don't know if they do this. It's just a suggestion. I've done this at other places. If you have a smartphone, I don't know if they need a print off or not, but can you just bring it up on your smartphone? You might want to check with Texas Roadhouse on that. But if you do print it off and you can take that flyer in, then that would be money towards the teams. So the money, according to the supervisor of special education, Mr. Royhab, said that the money that's going to be raised is going to be used by the teams to bring classmates together. So again, that fundraiser is today between 5 and 8 p.m. So, since we're in the spirit of talking about events, talking about goings-on around the area, I did want to focus on us as a radio station. It benefits you, but let me just welcome in my boss, Vicki Hinderberger. Vicki, welcome to the program. I get it how life is. You do too, Vicki. I mean, you're out there, you're driving, you're doing something, and you hear something that's in the background that you catch half of, and you're like, wait, what was that? I want to go to it. I want to call.
Right.
So we're going to just talk about what we are doing. One I want to talk about is the Alexa devices. We were just talking about, do you like your device, the voice-activated smartphones? Have you adjusted? Do you have an Alexa-powered device?
Actually, the children gave us a Google one last year.
Okay.
So we enjoy our Google, and we are adding the Echo. We have one we haven't installed it, so
sure,
to speak.
Yeah.
So with the post-holiday and everything going on here, we haven't done that yet.
Did you see the 86-year-old Italian
grandmother? Oh, that is too funny.
Folks, if you haven't seen this, you have to Google it, because she calls Google Goo Goo, and she keeps tapping it, and it won't work for
it's hysterical.
It is hysterical. But okay, so if we haven't had Alexa, mm-hmm. and we as stations are on Alexa, how do we use Alexa to get our stations to play?
It's very simple, and you explain it all very often to our listeners, even when you do the talk shows. But if they want, they can go into the Alexa device and add the skills. It's very simple. It prompts you to do what you need to do. I think it's fairly easy. Have you done it yet as well?
I haven't. I mean, I'll talk to one if one's already set up, but for me to set one up, no, I haven't.
Okay. It's not a difficult task. It prompts you at each step of the way how to actually do each step. And then all you need to do is, when you want to hear the news, Alexa,
or Alexa, whichever you like to call her, Alexa, please play. Yeah, no, what's in the news for the news, right?
Yes, yeah. Exactly.
Oh, see, I'm out of my element.
This is a riot. I can't even say Alexa. Sure, that was on the to-do list, Alexa.
So Alexa, what's in the news, right? Once you download the Butler Radio News skill.
And then we update that all day long, so you're kept informed as to what's in the news locally, mm-hmm. here for Butler. So it gives you the local news in as quick and succinct a method as possible. If you can't get, like, you're in an office and you just came out of a meeting and you want to hear what's going on, you can literally say that to your
Alexa device. What's in the news? And, yes. And we may even venture out, like, Indiana County or Mercer County, or, you know, but right. We focus, obviously, on Butler County and what's happening. So,
All right.
So something we're doing that, dare we say, we're almost halfway through, kind of almost.
Oh,
we're on the ninth, right?
Yeah.
We're collecting socks again this year.
Yes. And it's a program we've done. We've done it at least 5 years, I would say, and it's called Socks for Seniors, and it's really popular. And what we do is we ask for new pairs of socks, and people bring new pairs of socks in their plastic containers or whatever, how they bring them, and then we donate them to the 10 different Meals on Wheels agencies in the county, and they distribute them when they deliver meals. And you would not believe the number of thank yous we get. They're so gracious and grateful. And it's amazing, because writing a note is becoming a lost art.
Mm-hmm.
But this population knows how to write a thank you note.
Mm-hmm.
We get some of the most gratifying notes of appreciation for something as simple as pairs of socks. So if anyone is interested, we are collecting here at our offices at 252 Pillow Street. And then the socks will be distributed at the end of the month after we've collected them. And we get them to the different agencies, and they hand them out as they see fit. I will say that last year, it was well over 1,000. It was probably pushing 1,500 socks, and we got them out to the people that are the recipients of the meals.
And these are new socks.
Yes.
And they are, do they have to be the fluffy kind, or
no.
Can they just be your regular white black socks that you...
Right, and they're all different kinds. There's male socks, female, there's playful socks, there's funny socks, there's animal socks, there's black and gold socks. We get a little bit of everything, Tracy. A lot of fun.
Not on my bucket list is to try those socks. Have you seen them that you put a toe in each little, or digit into each little toe sock? People love those.
I don't think I could do that.
I don't think I could either. Now, gloves on my hands, yeah, we're all used to that. But my toes are just...
That's a weird feeling.
Yeah, they all be touching. But, okay, so you can drop them off here.
Yes.
We're on Pillow Street. You just described that. And how many can we drop off? How many do we need?
No limit. Whatever you want to bring. And then the organization Meals on Wheels judiciously hands those out. So if they know someone is in need and they could use 5 pairs, they take care of somebody. If somebody just needs a couple fun, just, you know, conversation mm-hmm. when they visit someone. But in most cases, they get even more than like one pair per person.
Yeah.
Sometimes they come in packs. You know how socks sometimes come in packs? Sometimes they give the entire pack to the individual. So.
Oh, good. All right. So that's happening through the end of the month.
Right.
Since we're in January, let's stay in January for a second with the wine festival.
We can go there.
And that's going to be at the end of the month. And this is a pretty big event. I can't believe 12 years.
Yes.
You're on this 12 years.
Yes.
I can't. Yeah. Tell us about it.
Well, one of the things that we do is try to help improve the morale and keep people cheerful. And so we invented this event 12 years ago to help people beat the winter blues and have something to do. And it was to celebrate our 65th birthday as WISR. And so we came up with this party, and eventually it became an annual event. So pleased to say that we have different wine tastings from 11 different Pennsylvania wineries. We have food samples. I want to focus on that because people in this area like food. You know how our staff here likes food?
Mm-hmm.
Well, this area likes food. So.
You're telling on us. Yes, we do.
Cheese balls, dips, beef jerky. We have a person with venison chili, some dipping mustards, roasted nuts, wine slushies. Again,
I'm just going to let that one go. Wine slushies is what she said.
Trying. And then we have a lot of different other vendors. Foods, merchandise, jewelry, beauty and skincare, women's apparel, kitchen gadgets, ethnic foods. One of the staples at our event is Old World Catering. John Rigetti has Carpathia Rusin.
Okay.
Slant to his foods.
Okay.
But at this event, he brings everything from Italian to Hungarian. He has halushki, halupki. Sometimes he has stuffed grape leaves. We haven't heard what delicacies he's bringing this
year.
Could
be a surprise, yeah.
And he makes a dessert called pelletchinko, too. So it's like a stuffed crepe with all kinds of yumminess inside. Mm. So that's a very popular booth. We have a wide variety of other type of vendors, from professionals. You can get a little mini massage because we have chiropractors there. A little bit of everything. Then there's some fundraising there for the YMCA, their annual support campaign, and they're going to have a huge basket raffle, which we help with, and that includes everything. If you've ever seen our baskets, you can barely carry them. I think we've helped load and unload them. And they have wine items, accessories, gourmet food items, a little bit of everything. And one of the specialty items this year is we're doing an overnight stay at the La Terrelle Hotel and Spa in the Finger Lakes. It's a weeknight stay, and it's the organization, or the location is in Ithaca, New York, and you could get the stay is in a deluxe king room with gas fireplace and jetted bathtub, plus you get breakfast for two at the La Bistro in La Terrelle, and they gave us some a wine tasting pass for the area well in the Finger Lakes. So this is quite a nice package.
How are we doing this? Is this
it's part of the basket auction.
So
it's one of the items.
If you just buy a ticket to get in?
Nope. As part of the basket raffle.
Gotcha. Okay.
Mm-hmm. So it's in the raffle itself, and it'll be one of the many items in the raffle.
Gotcha. So. And again, that's to support the YMCA.
Correct. Yes.
Yeah.
We'll also have music playing, and Elf Entertainment will have a green screen photo booth. You know how that's very playful today with different, you know, you get your group together and have props and that type of thing. So we're going to have that too.
We did one at, Science Center or something in Pittsburgh with the kids, and they had one of the TV station's weather service behind it. It is hysterical when you get up there and try to point your way through a green screen when there's something that you're looking at. And there's a word, I don't say the worst, because there are a lot of people who do it in this industry.
Right.
But my goodness, that's something to get used to.
Exactly.
Yeah. And you can't wear green.
No, nope. You blend right in.
It disappears. It's great. It's fun. But yeah, so that's happening. All right.
Right. And the festival sponsor is Deal Toyota. And they're the ones who helped underwrite the cost of the event. And then when you do buy the $20 premier ticket, you get a 6.5-ounce souvenir wine tasting glass. And it does include a food voucher for our refreshment booth, which you have been a staple at for the past umpteen years.
I take care of the food.
And
I don't cook a bit of it, but I take care of the food.
And there are two sessions for our listeners to attend, from either 2 to 5 or 6 to 9. And there are a limited number of tickets available for each session. So if anybody's interested, Tracy, where can they get a ticket?
They can get a ticket here.
Right.
Put down your phone. No, I'm just kidding. You can get a ticket here. So it's 283-1500 is the phone number. If you want to come here, you can stop by too. Can we get them online?
Yep.
Are we doing it online?
Radio.com or WISR680.com.
Okay.
Either one.
You got a lot of different ways that you can get these tickets. Right. Now, explain the ticket sale to me, because I know we got some pre-sales.
Yes.
And then we got tickets at the door.
If there are any left.
Yeah.
Yes. If you want to get your ticket ahead of time, they're only $20 now. And then on the day before, we close off at the end of the business day here, and online we close it off. And then the next day at the door, they're $25.
And that's tickets generally, or are we having a couple of different tickets for any purpose?
Okay, no.
This is just tickets.
Just tickets, $25 to either the 6 to 9 or the 2 to 5.
Okay.
Either session, it's $20 pre, and the day of the event, it's $25.
Okay. So we could save ourselves money,
yes,
or save the money to spend there to pick up wine. So that's how I think of it.
Right.
Well, money can I save now so I can spend it later? So 2832, or I don't know, what number am I giving you, Vicki? It's 283-1500.
Yes.
You got butlerradio.com, WISR680.com, or you can just stop by.
Correct.
You can stop by and say hi.
Yes.
So that's going to be happening at the end of January. If you're just joining us, I'm Tracy Morgan. I'm helping to fill in Dave's shift. Dave is not retiring. He's just not here today, and so we're just covering his shift. Usually it's Kayla. I joked with Dave one time, Vicki, because Vicki Hinderberger's our boss, so she's in here right now, and we're talking about this. I joked with Dave one day in the hall. I said, you know, it takes about four of us to cover one of you. That should be a very good compliment to you, and he just chuckled the whole way down the hallway. So, but today we're doing it with one person, me and Vicki. So, Vicki, all right, so something else I wanted to talk to you about, because we've seen a couple of great interns come in and leave just because their time was up and they go back to school. And I'd have to say we have pretty good interns.
We have had.
I mean, from being in this business a long time and being an intern at one time, it just, these people have a lot of drive. Do you see that?
And I love the enthusiasm. They have so much energy and vitality, and I can't wait to see what they see from their perspective, because we see it one way and they see it. It's like, really? That's what you see too? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But we have been very fortunate in the interns that we've received, and we've had them from a multitude of universities. This past fall, we had Chase Volts, who did a tremendous job for us with a social media campaign, and he was from Slippery Rock University. This spring, we're going to have Andre Parker, and he's from La Roche. So, and his is an integrated technology and communication major. So each one of them brings something different to the table. They learn here from us, but they bring a lot to the table as well. So we're excited to always have young people with us. Last summer, we had two very young, dynamic individuals here as well. And they literally have come back when we've had other projects to help us. Like, they came back for the parade. They came back for the wiffle ball competition we had. So I think that tells you that the opportunities that we have here, when you're an intern, you're not just making coffee. You're helping do a lot of the things that we do as part of our work, not just responsibilities we're giving you to fill your time because you need to get hours in for your credits. You're literally going to do something that you would do in a normal position when you graduate from a university or college.
Yeah, we've even had them write news stories, not necessarily put those on the air until they've, you know,
been refined
and understand the craft a little bit. But it's still the exact point that you're making is we're going to throw you in and you know, try to get you to do a promo or a promotion that you hear on the air. But so it's nice to be able to do that, because I always learn the sink or swim, you know.
That's the way I learn, don't you? I can learn by doing. You telling me isn't the same as me doing.
Yes.
So the other thing is, if someone has a neighbor, a child, grandchild that's in college and they need an opportunity like this, we are entertaining who would like to be here in the summer. And we do take one or two, depending on what we know we have as far as responsibilities, because when you do take an intern on, it is work. It is not just like something easy. We want to make sure it mutually beneficial for not only the student, but us as well, because we want to make good use of our staff time in these situations. So if someone is interested, they are more than welcome to have them either email, call, and send their resume, and then we can set up a time to interview. And we have had them in all different fields, everything from the sports to journalism to mass communications to public relations. And when they come in, we try and dovetail with what they want to do with what our needs are.
Yeah, I remember sitting with a couple that had nothing, they didn't want to be on the air at all. And so I had to ask them a few questions to say, well, what do you want to do? Because then I pinpointed something that we could do as the air staff in the way of, okay, this is how it could translate into what you're going to be doing in messaging. So it's a great relationship, and we have had really great, I can't call them kids, but everybody's younger than us now anyway, right? So, but, you know, young people, they're just really great young people that come in. And here's the other aspect that I've noticed. And we've talked about this. I talked to specialized staffing about the millennials and the different generations within a workplace. And I think they bring such value. And I say they because I'm not in the millennial category. But I think they bring such value because of the way that we're just changing with technology these days. And they bring, like you said, the viewpoint that they end up teaching us some things.
Right. And I will share with you that a lot of people think that getting an internship at a major radio station in a larger city is more beneficial. I challenge the person to think about the opportunities they will get in a small market radio station where you get to be a generalist and try a lot of different things, because we really don't close the door at all when you want to try something.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the truth. And well, I'll just say been there, done that in the career that I've had. And you'll be in the promotions department in vans, you know, working promotions. That's
right.
I mean, that's primarily.
That's an intern.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, here we could not necessarily put you on the air, but we'll try our best.
We do.
Know?
We do.
You know, we've put
part.
You on the best. We've given people sports casts and promos on the air and recorded things and newscasts.
Right.
And so, yeah, I agree with you. Yeah, it's a big learning. So how, again, just contact you, send in the resume.
That's it. It's that simple. Often I can be found on our website. If they go to the staff link, they can look up Vicki Hinterberger and they can email me their resume. They can drop it off here at the office or they can mail it in. If they're somewhere and they don't have access, they can literally do it the old-fashioned way and just hard copy and a copy of their resume in. We would set up an appointment, have them interviewed, and we always have to do it for credit. I will not do one if it's not for credit, because then you have no buy-in to the process. And I need you to have some buy-in because I need it to be worth your while.
Mutually beneficial, right. Like you said. All right, so we only have 10 minutes with you left, so I'm thinking, oh gosh, I have to get through quite a bit in order for us to stick on topic with what are we doing this year as we lead into the new year. So, and I say we, meaning stations. We have three different stations with our company, but we have a Valentine's Day contest coming up, and that's going to be a different version on all three of our stations.
Exactly. I just wanted to tell our listeners to stay tuned, because one of the things that I don't think people realize, we give a lot out in our community. At a recent staff meeting, I shared with you that the FM station alone had given away, the Rock Station 97, $40,000 in prizes, tickets, gift cards, that type of thing. So I'm telling our community, stay tuned. We're going to be doing something fun. And that's the idea. Listen to us for news, information, and a little bit of fun. And that's our give back to our community as well. We're going to get prizes from some of our vendors, our clients, and let people know we appreciate them listening. So
Absolutely.
Stay tuned. I don't know what all of them are. Some of them are a little crazier than others, as you well know.
So. Yeah, we always wait. Now what are we going to do? But it is fun. February 17th, speaking of fun, the guys get to cook. So
yes,
yeah.
This one is a lot of fun. This is our second annual Men Who Cook, and it's a dinner dance. It's on February 17th from 6 to 10 p.m. at the General Butler Vagabond Center. Our buddy, Pat Gallagher, who is a staple on Wednesday mornings with Bob Cupp on WBUT, is going to be our DJ. And he's a legendary DJ in our area. He's known for his antics as well as his wise music selection to get a group up and dancing. So we're going to have him coordinating that. But this event is about the food, okay? Last year we had about 25 different men who cook. And it was a little bit of everything. We had a lot of fun. Our winner was Larry Sassone, who was representing the Butler Blue Sox. And I've reached out to Larry, but I haven't heard that he's coming back to defend his Golden Fork title. But I'm hoping to hear from him soon. The fundraising from this event benefits St. Vincent de Paul, their food bank. And we do encourage people to also bring a non-perishable to help restock that pantry. And if you can, peanut butter or cereal, because those are two of the biggies that they need quite frequently.
Yeah.
But anyway, the other fundraising is baskets, 50-50, and some other silly stuff that we do there. But the food. Tracy, we had a wide, diverse food selection. I literally this year have already heard from one of last year's participants, Dave Crater, and he's called me around the hall and said, I'm going to make caramels this year. Homemade caramels. It's my mother's recipe. I'm like, okay, Dave, that's great. And recently one of the others who didn't participate last year, Bill Longstreth from Sir Speedy Printing, he's going to be coming and he's making kebabs.
Okay.
Kebabs. Okay.
Kebabs and caramels. Two separate people, but that's all right. I'll go in order.
We also have, I've had one of my regulars from last year, Mike Panza, a retired superintendent from schools. Mike's coming in, and he's making cheesecakes, mini cheesecakes. So it's just about anything goes. I have had some people confirm, but they haven't told me what they're bringing yet mm-hmm. or what they're making. But each of the different food booths around the perimeter of the room to set the table, so to speak, mm-hmm. for the event, each of the booths around the perimeter of the room have a different food, and you go and get a sample of each one. Last year, we had pastas, we had roast beef, we had mashed potatoes, we had... we had walking tacos, we had salads, we had chicken noodle soup.
You had a lot last year.
We
yeah.
did.
Yep. Did you sell that out last year?
We were close, but we did not quite. Okay. We got very close, but okay. we didn't. But it was another one of those blustery winter days that are always fun here in Butler County.
Yeah.
But tickets are now, they'll be on sale next week, and they're $20, and they're $25 at the door. Again, if you're interested, it will be available via our website as well as on WISR680.com and ButlerRadio.com, but not until next week. So
yeah.
it'll be available. But I just wanted to let our listeners know to put that date on hold, and maybe they can make it their Valentine's Day if they didn't get out on Wednesday, since Valentine's Day is Wednesday.
That's true.
They
hold
could
off.
Get out and come see us on Saturday and make it a date night.
That would be a great night, especially if the ladies don't have to cook.
Bingo.
There you go. I love it. All right. So that's happening as well. And Vicki Hinderberger in with us. I'm Tracy Morgan, covering for Dave today. And we're going to get into another segment here in a few minutes. So we only have about 2 or 3 minutes left with you, Vicki. What I want to ask you about is the news sheet. I mean, we know the news sheet's out. It's been out for many, many years. But it's funny when you know something's just a regular and a staple, and then when somebody outside the community recognizes that, it's kind of a chuckle because you think, well, that's been around for a long time. And somebody had come into our station, a client or somebody for an interview. I just remember talking to them. This was a while ago now, about 6 months ago. And they picked up the news sheet and they went, wow, you guys have a news sheet. Wow. You know, the guy was shocked that we have this, and I explained what it was for. It's still heavily requested.
It truly is, and it's amazing. I think it's older than we are. I'm not
yeah,
sure. I don't have
on.
Any records. So the news sheet has been around for a very, very long time. It's an institution and a staple in our market. It's printed every day, Monday through Friday, and it's distributed to about 75 different locations. We have a route downtown that they're delivered. And then we also have a route throughout the community in Butler City, Butler Township, Center Township area. The other item I wanted to share with our listeners is that you can get the online version. And we did this a number of years ago because of snowbirds, as well as the availability through email. So we email it out every weekday. So if anyone is interested, they can go on our website, again, butlerradio.com, and go on to the Contact Us, and you'll see the registration there where you can register to get an email subscription to the news sheet. Isn't that fun?
That is fun. Because how many of us, going back to the segment we just did, on our cell phones, on our smartphones, on the computers, right. We could ask Alexa. I don't know if Alexa would know what's on our news sheet. That's something
not
we
yet.
Could ask Alexa. Alexa, what's on the Butler Radio news sheet?
Right.
But so that's still, it's something that we put together in-house.
Yes.
It's something we do. We contribute to it. We put it together. So it's
exactly.
not something that's out of
no.
the realm of Butler County and somebody else is putting it together for us.
No.
It's something we do. And I think, again, that's something that we take pride in, but it's not about us. It's because the people enjoy it. But it's also because we're in an era that we always question what's news, what's not. And we're here doing the work for you. We're doing
correct.
The local work. We're calling the people. We got our news director, Kayla, back there. And, you know, so it's been something that we hold dear to us. So, all right. I see Pat over there waving me down. So that means we're going to take a break. Vicki, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Thank you for
am I going to be called into your office at 2
right.
o'clock?
I'll see you when you're done, Tracy.
2:05. I'm in her office. But, okay, so we got a lot of stuff going on. You could just go butlerradio.com or WISR680.com, or you can just give us a call. Again, the tickets are all here if you just want to stop by. We got tickets to everything, pretty much, especially from what we're doing. So we're on Pillow Street. 252 Pillow Street, to be exact. If you need our phone number, it's 724-283-1500. I'm Tracy Morgan in for Dave Mullarkey. I will be back again in tomorrow. He is recovering from a short illness, a brief illness, and when he feels better, he is going to join us again. So, until tomorrow, thanks so much for joining us. I'm Tracy Morgan in for Dave Mullarkey for It's Your Turn.
Midday lottery numbers for today. Your pick 2 is 5252. Pick 3 is 301. Pick 4 is 6512. The pick 5, 37062. Wild ball is 6 for each of those. The treasure hunt is 10, 13, 14, 21, and 23. Estimated jackpot for tomorrow's treasure hunt is $10,000.
It's up-to-the-minute local, national, and world news from WISR Butler, Pennsylvania, and the CBS Radio News Network.